Friends, we're beginning the first of 2 4-week series through our core values. We have, as in APC, we have 8 core values, the things that matter to us around here. And over the year, we're going to have 2 4-week series looking at each of those core values. So it's really great to have Dave Powell from Morning Church here with us. You might not have met Dave if you've only joined us in recent months. Please say hello to him over morning tea. That'd be great. And we're going to be thinking about our core value of speaking today. But to set us up for that, we're going to hear from the Bible. And Barbara's going to come and read to us from Romans chapter 1 and verses 8 to 17. And then Dave will hop up and teach us. Thank you, Barb.
This morning, the reading is from Romans 1, verses 8 to 17, sorry. And in the church Bibles, you'll find it on page 767, if you have one of those. So, starting with verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong, that is, that you and I may mutually encourage each other in each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but I have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among other Gentiles. I'm obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith.
Thanks, Barb. G'day, fresh start. Still awake, good. What a great gathering. Almost feel like we should be doing that gathering core value right now. It's been a tremendous gathering. Great to be with you. Introducing his helpful brief book, Gospel Speech, Ian Carmichael has this to say. He says, we all have a different relationship with speech. Some of us love it. Is that you? Some of us, not so much. I'm more in that camp, I think. In many ways, speech is a reflection of who we are as individuals. It's not uncommon, for example, to hear it suggested that women speak considerably more words than men. It's pretty courageous to say that out loud, isn't it? 20,000 words versus 7,000 words per day. But according to one study, the average for men and women's basically the same. It's a fallacy. The same study did note, however, there's a big variation between participants. One man in the study averaged just 795 words a day. It's a pretty small sample. While another man averaged 47,000. Exhausting. It would be an interesting study also, he says, to study Christians, not to see how many words they speak, but rather it'd be interesting to count how many gospel words they speak per day. For some Christians, perhaps even most of us, if such a study were done, the number might be embarrassingly low. I wonder how you feel about the thought of that study. Well, here at APC, we value some core things for growing followers of Jesus. And over the next few weeks, we're looking at core values. They're the matters that matter around here. And today's speaking is what we value. Here's what we value today. We delight in speaking God's powerful word to each other and to outsiders. As followers of Jesus, we are called to speak the truth in love, reaching out to the lost and building up believers. speaking. It's the heartbeat of being Christian. But it's also one of the things we do find hardest to do, isn't it? If that's you here today, well, let me commend to you that book by Lionel Windsor, Gospel Speech. It's clear, it's simple, it's compelling, it's brief. Small chapters, Lionel tackles common lies and excuses that rob us of our delight in speaking. It's not just any speaking, is it? No, we delight in speaking God's powerful word to each other and to outsiders. As followers of Jesus, we are called to speak the truth in love, reaching out to the lost and building up believers. That's what we value here at APC. Why is speaking so important? That's our second focus for today, as we look at the importance of this value. It's important that we value speaking God's powerful word because it's the power of God to save and to transform. We're familiar with the idea that the gospel is God's word that has the power to save. It's pretty obvious from that famous verse in verse 16, from the passage that we just read. Have a look with me there. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. So kids, if you're following along, here's your first star point. It's important that we value speaking God's powerful word because it is the power of God to save people. Speaking God's powerful word is the power of God to save people. We delight in speaking God's powerful word to outsiders, reaching out to the lost, because that's the only way they can be saved. Jesus commands us to love our neighbour. Well, speaking is core to loving. To know the gospel and speak it is loving. To know the gospel and not speak it is hating. Here's a quote from Penn Jillette. He's an atheist. He's the big guy in the magician duo Penn and Teller. And he says this, I've always said that I don't respect people who don't proselytize, we might say evangelize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and a hell, and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life, and you think that that's not really worth telling them this because it might make you feel socially awkward, how much do you have to hate somebody not to proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe that truck was bearing down on you, there's a point where I tackle you. And this is way more important than that. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. I wonder what it is that tempts you to be ashamed of the gospel. Jesus dies 2,000 years ago. It doesn't seem very powerful, does it? Jesus rises from the dead. Doesn't seem very believable. That Jesus is the only way to God? Friends, that's not very inclusive. That Jesus is Lord and deserves submission and obedience? We don't find that very appealing. That followers of Jesus receive special persecution and suffering? That's not very attractive. Friends, the gospel of the cross of Jesus appears weak and foolish. And as we speak it, we appear weak and foolish. So it's easy to be ashamed of the gospel. But there's a great reason to not be ashamed. Do not be ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of people. The gospel is always an urgent, important, and loving word to speak. It's important that we value speaking God's powerful word because it is the power of God to save. And second, it's important that we value speaking God's powerful word because it's the power of God to transform as well. So kids, here's your second star point. Speaking God's powerful word is the power of God to make people more like Jesus. Speaking God's powerful word is the power of God to make people more like Jesus. And so we delight in speaking God's powerful word to each other as well, don't we? That's really Paul's point here in Romans chapter 1. He wants to visit his Christian friends in Rome so that everyone can be mutually encouraged by the gospel. Have a look. In verse 8, Paul thanks God for the faith of the Christians in Rome. And then in verses 9 and 10, Paul says he serves God wholeheartedly by preaching the gospel. He wants to visit Christians in Rome so that he and they can share the gospel together. Let's pick it up again in verse 11. Read with me, chapter 1 and verse 11, Romans chapter 1 and verse 11. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Verse 14, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. Paul says he serves God wholeheartedly. How does he do that? He preaches the gospel. The gospel is the spiritual gift that Paul wants to share with the Christians when he goes to Rome. The gospel is what will mutually encourage Paul and all the other believers. And that all leads to verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Paul's making the argument the gospel is not only for converting outsiders. No, Paul's not ashamed of preaching the gospel to Christians. The plague of the early church was that Christians began with Jesus and then wanted to add something more or something different. Jesus plus Jewish culture and traditions. Jesus plus spiritual gifts, speaking tongues, miracles. Jesus plus angels or dreams or visions. The plague of the early church and Christians ever since is that we begin with the gospel of Jesus, but we think we can graduate from it to some higher or better or deeper knowledge of God. And Paul warns Christians against that. So, for example, to the Christians in Colossae, he writes, we proclaim him, Jesus, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. So we continue to live in Jesus by the same gospel that we began with Jesus. We're made perfect in Christ as we hear the good news about Christ. To make each other mature in Christ, we delight in speaking God's powerful word to each other. As followers of Jesus, we speak the truth in love, building up believers. And we value speaking because it's key and core to every believer. To the Christians in Corinth, Paul says, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. To be a believer is to be a speaker. In The Trellis and the Vine, Tony Payne and Cole Marshall write, simply by virtue of being a disciple of Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit of the New Covenant, all Christians have the privilege, joy, and responsibility in being involved in the work God is doing in our world, the work of the Lord. And the fundamental way we do this is by speaking the truth of God to other people in dependence on the Holy Spirit. The New Testament envisages that all Christian disciples will be prayerful speakers of God's word in a multitude of different ways and contexts, prayerfully speaking the word whenever and however and to whomever we can. Fundamentally, Jesus has made us to be his priests and ambassadors. He has handed on his disciple-making, speaking mission. It's the one thing, really, that sets us apart from all other people. We get on par with, I'm part with God's agenda, God's unstoppable plan and purpose by speaking. So let's spend the last few minutes thinking about the impact of having this value, the impact of this value. Up to point three, if you're following your outline. Let me take some time to spell out how this value underpins who we are and what we do around APC. Our speaking core value really has a corporate impact. And to illustrate the corporate impact, here's a diagram we refer to as the four E's. You might have seen it. Pretty much anything we organise at APC conforms to the four E's ministry model. For people who are coming to Christ, our speaking is focused on engaging and evangelising. And for people who are growing in Christ, our speaking is focused on establishing and equipping. Or put the other way around, we don't run events or programs that don't have a speaking element that is focused on at least one of engaging, evangelising, establishing or equipping. And we don't run bush dances. We're not fostering merely social activities for our members. We're not setting up soup kitchens or homeless shelters. We're not seeking to fix merely social and welfare issues. None of those things are necessarily bad. They could be good things to be doing, but they're not specifically the mission of the church. The mission of the church is to engage and evangelize outsiders and the lost so that they might come to Christ. And then establish and equip them so they might grow mature in Christ. A core value for that mission to succeed has to be speaking. That's why in our vision of growing healthy together this year, and one of the key indicators of health is whether we're speaking God's powerful word to each other and to outsiders. Are we speaking the truth in love, reaching out to the lost, and building up believers? Because we delight in speaking God's powerful word, the reading and teaching of God's word is the high point of our Sunday gatherings, both in here and for our kids. Because we delight in speaking God's powerful word, the words we sing to each other matter way more than the tunes we sing. As Paul says to the church in Colossae, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs from the Spirit, singing with gratitude in your hearts to God. Because we delight in speaking God's powerful word to one another, it's a feature of what we're going to do at morning tea, isn't it? Because we delight in speaking God's powerful word to one another, we commit to growth group. We spend more time in God's word together. Because we delight in speaking God's powerful word, our cross-church and network programs are all focused on the four E's. Junior Jivers seeks to engage young families in our community and regularly connects them to evangelistic opportunities. Craft and Chat seeks to engage and evangelise women from our community by deliberately not just being a craft group, but always featuring someone who unashamedly speaks of the gospel. Grow and Kids Club, they're not just there for fun and entertainment, but they're seeking to disciple our kids and teenagers to follow Jesus. It always means speaking God's word in a big group or a small group. Our carols and conventions and other one-off events, all shaped by the core value of speaking. There are events for public and personal speaking of God's word. Even our budget is shaped by the impact of our speaking core value. Most of the budget is set apart for local speakers who evangelise and equip and establish us. And some of it goes to people who are speakers here to the ends of the earth as we support missionaries. A big day away. Brother, that is genius. What a brilliant option for putting what is core to us into practice. You'll be there next week, won't you? Nothing else could be as important as speaking together God's word. Get on board with that. It's fantastic. This core value, speaking, has great impact across APC. It's a corporate impact. But that's just where the impact begins, isn't it? It cannot be where the impact of speaking ends. The impact of our speaking core value has to be individual. as much as corporate. So kids, here's your third star point. Well done if you've hung in. Speaking God's powerful word is for everyone. Speaking God's powerful word is for everyone. Here's another quote from the Trellis and the Vine. What we are really talking about is a Bible reading movement in families, in churches, in neighbourhoods, in workplaces, everywhere. Imagine if all Christians, as a normal part of their discipleship, were caught up in a web of regular Bible reading, not only digging into the word privately, but reading it with their children before bed, with their spouse over breakfast, with a non-Christian colleague at work once a week over lunch, with a new Christian for follow-up, with a mature Christian for mutual encouragement. Be a chaotic web of personal relationships, prayer, and Bible reading. More of a movement than a program. But another level, it would be profoundly simple and within reach of all. Now, I know personally that the idea of speaking God's powerful word can be daunting. And generally, for me, it's a bit like talking about diet and exercise. It's just guilt-inducing. It would be interesting to count how many gospel words we speak per day. I'll be honest. I'd be embarrassed at how too easily and quickly my speech is not gospel speech. I turn to more normal but less powerful words. That's why I need you. And you need me. I need to keep fostering my willingness to know and tell the gospel. I need to keep meeting with you on Sundays and in growth groups. I need to commit to people and places where speaking about Jesus is more than likely. The more we do it formally, the more natural it becomes informally. If we're not doing it here weekly, well, there's little chance we'll be doing it daily in our daily lives. When it comes to speaking, I need you, and you need me. Together, we keep fostering our willingness to know and tell the gospel. And then we can make every effort to make our willingness more able as well, can't we? We can commit to training opportunities as they come up. So we become both willing and more able to speak God's powerful word. Why? Well, because speaking God's powerful word is the most urgent and important and loving speaking that we can do. That helps with the right motivation, doesn't it? Like two nurses in the Ukraine, or servicemen and servicewomen in the ADF. Not trying to win an argument, not proving I'm right and you're wrong, just speaking the truth in love, even if it feels awkward and uncomfortable. Because it's going to, isn't it? The feeling of being weak or foolish will come. Be prepared for that moment when shame or fear will make every fibre in your body want to freeze or take flight. Pray for boldness to take on the opportunity and just cross the line. And be courageous for Jesus. It is okay to talk about what you think and how you feel and why. It is okay to give the reason for the hope that you have. It is okay if you can't answer all their questions. That's just a reason to come back for another conversation another time. Remember, what we're really after is a deep, loving relationship where speaking about matters that matter really matters. So be a good listener too, won't you? Perhaps your best speaking begins with asking questions and listening well. Be willing. Grow more able. Be loving. Have courage. Listen well. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. So let's spur one another on to turn theory into practice. We delight in speaking God's powerful word to each other and to outsiders. As followers of Jesus, we are called to speak the truth in love, reaching out to the lost and building up believers. Let us pray. Loving, gracious Father, we do thank you for the Apostle Paul penned those words. Thanks for a guy who was committed, wholehearted, in speaking the gospel. Father, we pray that you might work in us to have an undying faith and a conviction in the power of the gospel. Thanks that the power of the gospel has been true in our lives, that you've taken us from death to life. Father, being filled with that knowledge, please continue to do your good work in us by your Spirit, through your word, with each other. You might equip us and give us courage, that we might speak the words of truth and life as you give us opportunity. Please use us for your glory and for the kingdom of Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.